You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, I love having young entrepreneurs on here. Ethan Wunderlich, Select Exterior Services. Folks, hire this guy.
Right. I mean, and he you know, for 21 years old, he talks about what's
so
the top,
mature.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Top priority, customer service, you know, and he cleans out things that other people don't do.
Everything. Clean out the flies and the stuff in your whatevers.
Noticed it from another business he worked at. And, they just...
Young entrepreneurs, we will back 100%.
Yeah, just give him a chance. You know, he did. And, you know, he's just got married. And
would you rather hire to clean out your stuff and wash... Me or him?
Yeah, right. Oh, him.
Or him.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, Todd, you've been a little snarky.
You'd say to the homeowner, this is what you got to do.
You know what, Jim? Let's be honest on something. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Which one of us went to a big awards show the other day and came away with some awards, and who didn't? And who's like snarky and kind of condescending?
There's a little bit of a hangover from the show.
You guys won the awards. I just showed up.
We don't know.
At the
we
event.
Have no idea what we won if we won anything.
I looked it up last night.
Let's go to John Kaler, a great friend of mine, veteran salute. And John Kaler was a part of an amazingly wonderful, I don't even know what to call it, John. Exhibit the other day down in Appleton honoring all of our Vietnam veterans killed in action. And you being a Vietnam vet, this is our Olson Legal Group, LLC. Mr. Olson, of course, a Purple Heart recipient from Iraq, and John Kaler, a Marine veteran of Vietnam who does so much for veterans. John, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, John, and how are you doing today?
We're doing great. John, the one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I mentioned this to you at the event the other day, you know, I actually had one of my Vietnam vets. He said somebody, when he came back from Vietnam, and he'd been back for a few years and everything, he was there in like 70, 71, and then 75, and somebody walked up to him and said basically, well, you can stop biatching about Vietnam now. It's all over. And he's like, it's all over? Really? And what I want to talk about, John, because you work with so many Vietnam veterans, just because the anniversary of somebody signing some papers in 1975, if you think that war ended for Vietnam veterans, whoa, you're sadly mistaken. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would for the most part. And I'll be speaking here that, you know, this is just my own opinion and my own experience. I know enough from talking to a lot of different vets that everybody's got their own view, especially on Vietnam. It was such a controversial war. But the majority of us, you know, found our way, eventually, but, it was a bit of a struggle because, you know, to be quite frank, we never had that kind of an ending to any kind of a conflict, prior to that, you know, where we just pulled out.
I would agree. I wish it would have ended better, but whatever, it ended the way it ended, but And the right word isn't to celebrate because it's not a celebration, but you really got to honor,
commemorate, honor.
It's even like a 9/11. It's just we can't forget stuff because if we forget about it, we're going to repeat it, you know. And so, I think it's that wall Johnny was telling me about that, which you guys did in Appleton. But you take it a step further, right? Do you work with veterans, or what's your exact role in all this?
I'm a member of the DAV and the VFW and BBA and those kind of organizations. But I also do some things kind of freelance on my own, working with, doing a round table and, you know, counseling and, helping vets find jobs and that kind of thing. But, veterans have, you know, there's so many different kinds of, you know, thoughts and feelings about the war. I think we have, when we look at it, you mentioned something about the, you know, that, you know, things kind of lay dormant. And for me, I never talked about my Vietnam service. And I don't know a lot of veterans that did. You frequently work with vets and you'd find out that, you know, by accident they were a veteran because you shouldn't talk about it. It took really the war, the Iraq war And I mean, things just exploded for so many of us because we thought that all of this was behind us and we had learned our lesson, but all of those things came back again. And just speaking for myself, I mean, I lost my job. I got into a fist fight and had, you know, ran for some counseling because I just saw again all the guys that were, you know, that never came back home again. Mm-hmm. So that was a real trigger for so many of us. And I know many, many vets got involved in VSOs and things like that again after that.
And that we've had veterans on here, you know, thanks to all the work John does, but just talking to each other, I think, is just so critically important in everything, right? In anything. You got problems with family, you got problems at work, but you got to talk. And I think one of the more detrimental things to Vietnam veterans is you didn't talk. And that's partly our fault, right? Because you weren't well received when you came back. So I'm just glad you're doing these roundtables, you're meeting with people. And do you think people are feeling better?
I'm just going to back a guy I talked to yesterday from Manitowoc. Went 26 years without telling anybody. He worked at Budweiser Manitowoc.
Yeah.
Went 26 years until he found another truck driver who was in Vietnam. That's the only person he spoke to in 26 years. And one of the reasons, John, is because one of his buddy, his uncle or somebody, wanted him to come and join the VFW. And first thing they said, well, we don't want druggies and we don't want baby killers and we don't want anything. And he's like, okay, you know what? I'm out. Yeah. I'm not going to even mention it. And I hate to say it, John, but that's a true story about what happened to some of you guys, isn't it?
Oh, I've heard so many stories just exactly like that. We did kind of wander around on our own and did the best we could. The good news on that is over 90% of us found our way eventually and ended up being very, very productive in our careers, if not even better than our civilian counterparts. But you know, you got out, the war was very, very unpopular. There was a stigma about a Vietnam vet. I'll tell you, in my situation, I went to work for the post office. I scored over 100 points, and I talked to the post office on the civil service exam. Mm-hmm. I talked to the postmaster, and he said, well, he says, we're really looking for somebody more stable, and you guys need some time to, you know, rest and get acclimated. We're looking for somebody that's married. And, man, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have sued him. But I just kind of walked off, and, you know, that's just the way it was.
Okay. I had another guy. I hate to bring up Manitowoc for all this, but I didn't. I'll tell you two other stories. My good buddy Wolfie, he went to the courthouse pub in Manitowoc in his Marine uniform. First day he was back, he was so proud to come back to his hometown. Basically, he's from White Lyish, and a guy started just giving him crap about, yeah, when I was in World War II, we actually and just. To the point, and he smashed the guy's face against the window in the thing.
Yeah.
And then another one of my guys from Manitowoc, and again, Manitowoc is, I'm not trying to put down Manitowoc, but another one of my guys, he would have, wonderful gentleman, came back and he would apply for these jobs where he'd see help wanted, and they'd say, okay, where are you at military-wise? Are you through with your commitment? Or yep, just came back from Vietnam, and he never got a call back from any of those places, John. He had to stop saying. He just said, well, I'm done with my military commitment, and I'm done. And but if he said Vietnam, they didn't get the job. Did you experience that, John?
Oh, yeah. There was that stigma. And, of course, that was the only war that, you know, the people that were protesting blamed the veteran. Because in their mind, that if we refused to go, the war would stop, you know, and there wouldn't be anybody to fight it then. So we had a bunch of things to overcome, and like I said, most of us ended up doing it successfully. But it was very lonely at the time, and of course there weren't counseling services and things like that available. Not many people that I know consider going to Vietnam for any help at all. It was essentially useless. And now there are so many more programs and things like that out there to help vets through these through these tough times.
Kind of a better late than never, but this should have happened, you know, 49 years ago, but 50 years
but
ago.
But we never, you know, you think about that, though, John. I mean, World War II, every person that was in the military was like a hero. Oh, my God, thank you for what you're doing. Unfortunately, Korea was so similar to Vietnam that people just kind of tried to ignore it and didn't, you know, didn't acknowledge the sacrifice our unbelievable men and women made. And then Vietnam was just like, I don't even want to hear about it. And the media did a horrific, horrific job in representing you guys. Wouldn't you say, John?
Yeah, absolutely. We were looked at as being, not stable and drug addicts, and in some cases, I think that it's probably true. We were rather troubled, and it took us a while to find our way. Certainly the political thing was against us, and it's not that we did not feel pride in what we did. I mean, I did. No person is a prouder Marine than what I am. But I just didn't go around like I do now. I wear shirts, I wear hats, and I, you know, very, very proud of my service and that kind of thing. But back then, you really just didn't do it. And it just wasn't very popular to be a Vietnam veteran. And then in the truth, we were almost like a dime a dozen. So many of us had served compared to the number of veterans that we have right now. So
yeah, there was a lot wrong at that time with this country, and it's better. We still got a lot of work to do, but like we were just saying, there's two things that were kind of against you guys, and it was the media and our federal government. It's just they didn't.
Yeah.
It almost like it was your fault. You know, you guys are just doing whatever you're
they
told to
do. I mean, my three brothers were all in the Army in the 60s, and
it's crazy.
They didn't have any choice. I mean, they just did what you had to do, right, John?
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it, John. We did what everybody did what they had to do, including the protesters. And it was a dark time. And when I go into schools and I try to explain this to the students and things like that, you got an hour or two to kind of fill up. But I mean, it's good days to go through all of the motions that Vietnam veterans felt they had to go. It was their duty to go, and they went. They came back, and they were scorned and ridiculed. And a lot of them came back, messed up and had marital problems and drank, and never did find their way again. So, the choppers left the embassy in Saigon, it wasn't over for a lot of people. And I think that still lives on now. I mean, there's still some people that, suffer flashbacks and that kind of thing from it.
Well, and that's the thing, John. We just got 2 minutes left, and I'll let you go, buddy. I appreciate this so much. John Kaler, who does so much for veterans and veteran organizations in the whole, what would your county be? Winnegami, Calumet, Outagamie? That whole area, you reach out to people, right, John?
Oh. I'm just so happy the way this roundtable turned out. We're in our eighth year. We have people coming from Milwaukee, Eau Claire, Wausau, Manitowoc, kind of all over the state. And typically we get like 80 to 100 people in a meeting, and we have it at different venues. And it's essentially, like you said, it's an opportunity to connect and share experiences, ideas, and network, and reduce redundancy that do the best things that we possibly can for veterans. And it really seems to work well.
And it's not just Outagamie, Winnipeg, it's wherever. And the number one thing, John, I want to reach out to you about, and I met the gentleman again the other day at the Vietnam event, the Hmongs. You give them such high esteem.
Yeah. They are just fantastic people. And if you ever think that you're having a bad day, talk to one of those guys. My buddy, Shua Shong, the commander, he was given an M1 that was bigger than he was when he was 15 years old and told to go out and kill communists. And he lost so many members of his family. And that story is just so common among all of those guys. And they're the most humble, wonderful, brave, kind people that I've ever met. And
all the respect.
We're doing some good things.
Awesome.
We've got them going to the Owl Glory Honor Flight and a number of other programs that we've set up for them. So.
Thanks for what you do, my friend.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
You're the best. John Bye-bye. Kaler, Veteran Salute, Olson Legal Group. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
A man.
right?
Who'd you say?
Well, it was the Guess Who at first, but this was Lenny Kravitz, wasn't
That's
it?
Correct, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
With, what's her name, who was in Boogie Nights, and she was becoming a big, huge star, and then her career just kind of like ended.
Was he with her at some time?
She's the woman where it says American Woman in this video. She was the woman
in the video. Okay.
Hannah Heather something something. Hmm. She was on the verge of being this huge movie star and then just like plateaued. Do you got her?
Heather Graham?
Yes.
All right.
Whatever happened to Heather Graham?
That's let me check on that. See
I'm not
she's
sure
up
they
to.
Plateaued. They usually go one way or the other. Don't they gotta go down?
But she
just some of that.
She
stuff
was on. Like, she was like she was in Boogie Nights.
Oh.
The Spy Who Shagged Me. She was
the
in that
The Spy
movie.
Who Shagged Me.
That's
yes.
right.
I mean, really, really, really popular. These really popular movies, and then just nothing. Wouldn't you agree, Todd?
I mean, I only know her from those things.
That's what I mean.
I think she's. I mean, she looks pretty. She was in The Hangover.
Oh, The Hangover. Yep. She played the mom in The Hangover. She had the little kid.
Yep.
You know, when John was talking about coming back, didn't that make you think of that song, Signs?
Yeah.
Remember, come on, get a job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, the way we were saying that, because that was a, you know, that had a long run, but I was like, that poor guy, you know, he's 20 years old. They just said to him, that's unbelievable that they could get away with that. I mean, he could never do that today.
No.
Right? I mean, he'd be sued.
And here's, you listen to this guy, right? And he's just so... He's almost like over understanding, like he's
right.
Forgiving.
Yeah. He's forgiving.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
He's that
for
kind
it.
Of a guy.
That's got to be tough because I don't know that I could forgive being
I would
treated
have.
That way.
Going in, yeah John, you.
Can I borrow your glasses? So, my glasses. I want to read the guy I just told you about, one of the other guy. I just want to read a quick little excerpt, but I think yours are really strong, aren't they? Your glasses?
Yeah, no, he's mine.
What, like I'm going to get cooties? You're going to give me
No, I'm just saying that my glasses are for seeing far away. They're not for reading. That's why I said that.
Okay, well, I might need you to read something.
Okay.
This is a guy in Vietnam. Okay. Oh, thank you, Todd. I still want you to read this. Okay, from right there. Read that.
Coming home from the war was very strange. You think, okay, what should I do today? Do I look for a job? What am I supposed to do? I mean, one day you're on a river in Vietnam fighting for your life. The next day you're walking the streets of your hometown looking for a job, which, as it turned out, was very difficult. You'd hear about a place that was hiring, and you would go in and talk to them. And then it got around to the fact that you just came back from Vietnam, and it was like, thanks, but we don't need anybody right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awful.
Isn't that something?
That's awful.
You served your country, you just come back, and nobody will hire you in your own hometown. Yeah. So that's almost like the quiet side of the Vietnam vets that wasn't publicized. You know, the media, and I'll tell you something, I've been in the media for 100 years, we love low-hanging fruit. We love a story that sells itself.
No.
You know, tells itself. So the crazed Vietnam vet headline was so easy.
But why didn't they push back and say, wait a minute, what? What do you mean? I went and served. I mean, why didn't they push back? This guy said he just walked out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I can't see you just walking out.
Me?
Or me.
I can't see them hiring me.
No, that's true. Okay, but you know what I mean? Like, that's too bad.
I do. But it's one of the.
Like I said,
the media loves talking about the crazy Vietnam vet who did whatever. But they don't see these wonderful guys.
Yeah.
Who went to a great high school and got great grades, and they did what their country told them they had to do, and they come back, and somehow they're penalized
right.
for doing all what they had been told are the right things to do.
In their hometown.
In their hometown.
That's where it really hurts.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the part.
Do.
So then when we talk about, and I know it's a couple days late, but when the anniversary of the mm-hmm. end of the Vietnam War, you know, legally, the other day in 1975, it didn't end for these guys.
No.
You know, and that's the thing. We look at World War II about the ticker tape parades and the World War One and
kissing on
Johnny
Fifth
comes
Avenue.
Yep. Marching home. I mean, I could have asked John this. I could ask almost any Vietnam vet. If you're in a bar and you're, you know, looking to, you know, get a little something, something, would you say you just came back from Vietnam? None. If they did, you got nothing working. Yeah. Isn't that something?
I'm afraid. That, you know, you always say you learn from the past, right?
Yeah.
I'm afraid we're going to get so far away from this story that people will forget what that's like, and we're going to repeat ourselves, because it seems like we're doing that an awful lot lately in an awful lot of ways.
Well, totally agree, Todd.
We got to keep telling these stories.
Yeah.
We're just saying at the break that we just hope that doesn't repeat with
Afghanistan. Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. But I be 100% honest, I think the media did a very big disservice to them, because they can, the media can twist or weave, whatever you want to call it, their own story, you know, and then just build upon that.
So can the White House. They should have done a lot more.
Totally agree. But I never bring up your politics, but let's be honest. I bet you've seen it in the media where they take something and you're saying to yourself, seriously, true or false?
Well, yeah, absolutely, 100% true. Yes. Yeah. It's like, wait, I was there.
Yes.
That is not what happened.
Exactly. So. And that's what they did to the Vietnam vets.
I know.
Because it was an easy story to do.
And like you said, more sensational too.
Absolutely. That side, so. That gets the notice. It's that shiny thing.
Yeah.
And these poor guys would think, I mean, like my buddy there that you just read the excerpts for. Oh. I mean, that's what it was like. So. Yeah, that was a terrible thing. So, again, I don't want to let that die. The end of the Vietnam War was the other day. 50th anniversary, hard to believe, but commemorate, not celebrate, but commemorate the Vietnam vets of that area. All right, we got a phenomenal person coming up. One of the most talented people outside of me in Green Bay, Ace Champion.
Jeez.
Coming up.
And the sign said, long-haired, freaky people need not apply. So I took my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat, I said, imagine that. Me working for you.
If you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, catch every episode of Mino and the Mayor on your schedule. Listen now at civicmedia.us or find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's easy to take Mino and the Mayor wherever you go. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, what a great lineup today. Award winner, triple award winner, Brittany Merlot. Our civic media meteorologist, Christine Schutze, NEW Zoological Society. They got some great things taking place out there. Ethan Wunderlich, Select Exterior Services, one of our young entrepreneurs that we like to back every step of the way. I have so much respect for young
entrepreneurs.
He's going to
make it, too.
He's 21.
He's very
21.
Mature. Yep.
John Kaler, Veteran Salute, Olson Legal Group, coming your way out of Oshkosh, where we're going to be
Thursday
next week. We love going to Oshkosh.
This week. This week.
Oh, this week, yeah. You know what we got to do, though? We got to bring the winner of our craft brewery thing. She's got to come down.
Ooh, today.
Tavia. Todd?
Here's what I think we should do. We should speak to Tavia and see if we can actually do a morning show from there.
I would love it.
I would love that.
From the distillery, Tavia.
Yeah.
You know, I was just there.
Yeah.
Were you?
Tuesday.
Oh, you did a show there? That's right.
I think we did a show there. Sold out.
How is it? We want to go there.
It's amazing.
It's the fire station, right?
It was so amazing. Like, you know what they give you for tips out there? I got 2 bottles of freshly brewed bourbon.
Really?
One from the mayor from Dale, and the other one, yeah.
The mayor of
Dale's got a mayor?
Yeah, I know.
800 people? Wow.
Wow.
He bought me a bottle of
I was going to say, that's exactly how he got elected, too. Wow.
Love it.
We're going, so we had that draft contest, and we like 11 participants, and they won. They got the most votes for it. Nice. And we had some great people on there.
Fantastic. They're all every single one of them. I'm just going to say, we haven't sampled every one of their products, but I will say this. Every one of them sold their product so well with their personality and their
uniqueness,
their heart into what they did.
Nobody sells on price. It's all this quality. It's where the raw materials come from,
the
packaging.
About competition, all in together.
Anyway, so we're going to, that'd be great. So, and you, young man.
Ace champion in the house.
Yo, yo, yo.
Who do you think, okay, can I just ask you one football question?
Me.
You played quarterback, right?
Yes.
I was a Veer quarterback in junior college.
I believe.
Who do you think ran the Veer better, you or I?
Me.
Well, probably you, because what is the veer? Is that like a...
Okay, now you're making fun of me because I'm old.
I don't know if yeah, they're old right. Yeah, anymore.
Forget yeah, that question. Like all right, it was big in 75. Yeah. Okay, Ace.
We ran the option.
Where were you in 75?
I was not thought of yet.
Okay, fine. Let's drop that.
I was still in the realm is that of like the that spirits.
Okay, oh, I move
veer,
on.
I thought the veer was like that scramble, that guy who was called Snake. I was just running away.
Move on. Okay.
So probably you won that.
Hey, right. Today is Hoagie Day. I'm a big fan of hoagies, and it's also Cinco de Mayo Day.
We have a
it is that's party right. Team.
I would imagine you could put together an amazing hoagie, and I'm saying that because the best hoagie I've ever tasted was in some little roadside honky tonk in Mississippi.
Oh yeah,
just over the border from Louisiana.
Oh yeah,
and it was a shrimp and something something hoagie, and it was so good.
That's not really called a hoagie though. Right?
It's not just called a hoagie.
Whatever.
Yeah, I was just letting them have.
That's a po' boy, yeah. But Philly has Philly's got the hoagies.
Yeah,
that's, but it's not dissimilar, but different
names. Yeah. It's mainly like the po' boy is like French bread.
Right.
The hoagie is kind of French bread, but you know, more like
too much bread though in those hoagies.
A lot of bread. A lot of bread.
But the seafood, shrimp, if you wanted to, you could make something pretty
spectacular. That's what I did when I was on the Al Roker-thon, because, you know, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records. I represented Wisconsin for the Great American Sandwich Relay, and I did a catfish po' boy.
Did you know this?
And I put some cheese on it. Yeah, it was 2021. So it was in the heart of, so it was online. Yeah, they had Bobby Flay, all type of Food Network.
And you're in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Guinness Book, it's the greatest sandwich relay. So each state had to make a sandwich, and I represented Wisconsin.
What was
so
the sandwich?
Catfish po' boy.
But the cheese is what made it.
The cheese is what made it. Because I had to put the cheese on to make it. They wanted me to do a cheese curd po' boy. I'm like, I will not. I'm sorry.
That's a little too much.
That is too much. Wow. That is too much.
Hey, the people who are listening, you're a great chef. You also... Big into music, especially music from the instruments you bring are thousand years old. But hey, I want to talk about this event that's coming up because I'm actually participating in it. You're taking your talent to kids and to other. Tell me about that. That's it.
Yes. Yeah, so I've done, you know, obviously quite a bit of work with the kids. You saw me when you came to the concert at Preble High School.
Yeah, it was fun.
So the Meat Fest, every year they have this grilling competition. It's really serious, all these guys from all over the states. And this year she wanted to do it different. I'm like, why not bring in the kids, you know? So we got ages 8 through 12 and 13 through 17. So two different heats.
That young you get them involved. Oh,
oh
wow.
Yeah.
13,
oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they can have the 13, the up to 13, they can have an adult with them. But the rules are the adult can't cook. 100% this kid has to cook. So none of this parents cook for them.
Okay.
And they can make whatever they want. They just have to use meat in some sort within the dish. And then we'll be judging them when they're done. And then the winner, you know, they'll get their trophy and a couple other knickknacks like knives and coupons and stuff like that. Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, that could be a springboard for some of these kids. I mean, you know,
because
kids love to cook. I mean, a little bit of TV, something. And I'm a judge for this too with these things, which I'm really looking forward to because I think you're going to be, well, you've done this before, I haven't, but we'll be surprised how well they can cook at such a young age. I got a friend of mine whose son, and he really wants to go on to be a culinary chef somewhere, and why not? It's a great field.
Oh, yeah. Well, you saw they cooked when we at Preble High School.
Yeah.
I mean, these high school kids are cooking like, you know, professional chefs these days.
The appetizers, the dessert, everything, besides the main courses. I just think they really know the presentation. They just learn more than
they do.
And what a great thing to have for the rest of your life.
Right. And that little bit of that can't hurt you on the dating scene either.
No, not at all. I mean, it really just takes that spark. You know, I see so many kids that maybe their parents didn't raise them in the cooking and, you know, they don't really know if they like it or not. And then when you get them in the kitchen and you see that spark, then all of a sudden they're cooking every day.
Right.
That's a win.
But it's such I try to cook. Actually, I'm going to, you know what I'm making today? Why did you laugh, Ace?
No.
Should be more encouraging.
Yeah. We would love to have your Bananas Fosters one day.
Oh. So I went to Aldi's yesterday, bought a head of cauliflower.
Okay.
And some shredded cheese. And some chicken broth and some frozen vegetables. And I'm going to make soup today.
Nice. Cauliflower soup?
Yeah.
All right. Take some pictures of it.
I will.
I'll bring post some. It. He's going to post it on the Civic.
There you go. You know, okay, I wanna be honest with you? You could have been more encouraging. I mean, I'm just saying, I was so proud.
Job.
I want to tell you that. And I thought, hey, that's awesome. Oh, man. What can, oh, that's going to
well,
be
I didn't want to do you like I do the kids. You know what I mean? Well, pat you on the back. Oh, you're so. Wow. Good job with that mac and cheese.
You
recipe.
Know what? Yeah. Can I just say something? You're not getting any.
I was really looking forward to that.
I'm bringing Todd. I'm bringing Amanda. I'm bringing him some. You're not getting any, Ace.
Green Bay's finest cauliflower soup. Well, we'll see. But, here it is to come.
But if you taste it and love it, it's like, I don't know if I could do exactly that. Let me just give you an example. I have a party coming up Saturday morning, a bridal shower at my house. Quiche. My daughter said, oh, Dad, we want quiche for that. And I haven't had
quiche in 20 years till Lisa brought some in from Michael's organization. I love that.
I called Michael. I'm like, hey, can you give me Lisa's number, contact?
I'm kidding.
And she hand wrote that whole recipe out. And Donna looked at it. We can do this. So that's what we're having. Because
it
was so good. And if you find something that's really good.
Yes.
Do chefs. You tell me this. You're a chef. Do you guys share recipes, or you're like, nah, I don't really want
to
give that?
I have to. I mean, I do charge for it though with my cooking classes. But no, I some chefs do not.
I know,
especially in Louisiana. I mean, they will not give you. They're very territorial over the recipe, especially the grandmas and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, they'll give you nothing. But I mean, traditionally, a traditional chef will not share.
Can
his
I just
recipes.
Say? I just said well, I don't mean to interrupt, but I totally forgot. I wanted to mention this on the show today, and I totally forgot. Todd. Did you see the new movie that Vince Vaughn is producing on Netflix, a series?
And I heard about it, but I don't know what it is.
It's based on a true story of a guy that came from Italy, okay, just a little Italian guy in Staten Island, and his family couldn't get a job. They opened up their own little Italian pizza place, okay, and they got all these other Italian grandmas, all these nonas, which means first generation. Yeah. Right. So it's the name of the thing is Nonas. And it's about how much they fight on everything, about whatever, and trying to run a restaurant with all Nonas.
I would never.
So I give you so much credit with what you guys do, because I got to think you borrow a little bit from other people, yes or no?
Oh, 100%. Okay. 100%. The rule is you only have to change recipe 10% to make it your own. So a lot of times we'll get inspiration from other recipes and try and make it their own. It's just sometimes you get, too carried away.
I was just curious as to what that is, because there's been a couple restaurants that it was like, this is unbelievable. And it was either the soup or an appetizer. It wasn't like the main course. Mm-hmm. And I asked the waiter, and some of these guys come back. They write it on a card and give it to you, the chef,
some
which
will.
I think is really, which really helps the tip, too.
That's
just
the
awesome.
That's the new age chefs. The old chefs from back in, the day.
Down the goal.
They'll never give you, because it's these are like trade secrets to them.
I would
right.
Because, they make this wonderful special dish, and then all of a sudden Joe's Bar down the street is making the same dish. It's kind of, but nowadays we're like, sharing is caring, share with the world now, and
okay, we've talked about this, though, as far as different, like there's a, the old Gippers. It's now.
An Indian restaurant.
Nepal, or whatever. Yeah. And there's a place just on the end of the block here down the road on the left-hand side by the Northland. It's a new Latino type of food and something. I'd like to try it. It just opened right at the end of the block. You just keep walking down here on the left side.
In Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was there yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. But different.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I love it. I love it. Okay. The one thing, though, that would be my favorite food would be Cajun, which is kind of your...
Yes.
We all. Why aren't there Cajun restaurants?
They don't leave Louisiana.
Okay.
That's 100% it. I mean, you look at Hispanics, every city you go to, you're going to find a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
So,
So where are the Greeks hanging out? Because we need a guy.
I know.
Where are the Nepalese? Well, they're down at Dino's.
Well, they got the Euros. There's a
Euros.
Yeah,
that's
but
not
that,
the same.
No,
I'm thinking like Greek
know.
Town and in
nah,
Chicago. They, we got something, where there's 3-4 of them and they're really, okay.
Yeah.
So well, wouldn't you love to go to a really good Cajun restaurant here?
Totally. Yeah.
They just don't leave.
Okay.
They don't expand. That's why you literally, when you go anywhere, they're always very limited on Cajun. I don't care if you go to California, New York, Cajun's always going to be limited compared to Jamaica. Even Jamaican is making more of a push than Cajun is, with the food trucks. So it's just because they just don't leave. And Creole is probably one of the more difficult cuisines.
I should have said Cajun. You're Creole, and there's a difference.
There is, but they're kind of one of they're like second cousins.
Okay,
you know, but yeah, the Cajun is the blend of South African, Indian, French, and Spanish. So you're like cooking four cultures in one. There's a lot of cutting. Everything is with the Trinity. I mean,
labor intensive.
It's very labor intensive. Okay. Like Italian and Mexican.
Got it.
A lot of it isn't too labor intensive as far as like cutting up and vegetables. Okay. And stuff interesting. Like that.
Yeah,
and
that is.
Spending 30 minutes on a roux, you know,
right?
Yeah, you don't have to do that in certain ways.
So these kids, when you this contest, are you running?
Yeah,
are you
talk
teaching?
About this contest.
Yeah, no, so yeah.
It's this weekend,
I'm
right?
No,
it's not this weekend.
No. It's
ways away.
May 31st.
Okay.
At the rec center. Yeah. May 31st. They can go on to the rec center and sign up. They can go on Facebook too as well. PMI Entertainment. They're cooking whatever they want, but they have to incorporate meat in it. And I'm pretty much emceeing the whole thing. So I'll be walking around, introducing each kid, letting them talk about. And as we're talking, I'm going to be mic'd up in the whole system. So everybody within the rec center will be able to hear this cooking competition.
So awesome. The judges, which I'm one of, I would know. I want to say anything negative to a
thanks for your check for that, too, Jim. Yeah, appreciate it.
But these kids, I mean, you want to encourage them, right?
Yes.
You want to say,
hold that thought.
You want to spit out the food like they do on TV? You know?
Don't be right like back. Ramsey. What is this?
Ace Champion 2025 Kids Cooking Championship Meat Fest coming up. More.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here with Ace Champion. What an exciting event you've got going on. And Ace, we were just talking in the break. Man, what a great, what's the thing that people always use? What a great brand you have created.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But isn't that the term these days, right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ace Champion has created such a great brand with what you do. 2025 Kids Cooking Championship, Meat Fest.
I think the biggest thing about your brand, Ace, and you don't have to necessarily agree with me, but it's your involvement in the community. It doesn't matter if it's music. It doesn't matter if it's food. You're always involved in the community. So when I think of your quote-unquote brand, that's exactly what I think of.
That's amazing. That's exactly what I'm going for. I appreciate that.
Well, you're accomplishing it. Okay, we got to take one quick second. Amanda, get on the mic.
Oh, another award? Why are you bringing us down?
Another award winner, Amanda. Congratulations, Amanda.
Congratulations on that social media.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was third place, but thank
you. Hey, you're on there. Some of us didn't even make the cut. Yeah. So, yeah.
You guys got second. And also, we should be congratulating as well the Glam Band. Did you guys see how many awards they won?
Did Dennis win?
I was there. They were sitting at my table.
Male vocalist again.
No, kid. I did not know that.
I didn't look that up.
Sure.
That
was
for the wedding, though. I was, yeah.
They got 7 awards.
The Glam Band did?
Yes, and we're going to be congratulating them later on our social media so everyone can take a look, but wow.
Phenomenal. Okay, Todd, we've been blowing smoke up everybody else's.
But that's partly due to us, though.
I think so, too. We just discovered that.
Take credit.
Blow a little up our
Amanda wouldn't have got her stuff without us. And Brittany probably wouldn't have got her award without us.
Not even
come on,
close.
John. Don't feel so bad.
Nothing. Brittany even said she'd come in like 7th if it wasn't for us.
She didn't say that. But.
Also, our own Lisa Hale brought home a plaque.
Yes.
I've been pretending to be her all weekend because I get to hold it for a while. So.
All right.
Hey, Lisa, nobody likes a bragger.
Yeah.
Saying.
Wow.
Again, did she thank us?
That's another person on our show.
We had an acceptance speech worked out last year.
Really?
Didn't use it.
We could have used it again.
But Ace, the other thing I just want to say about you.
You can pretend to be Lisa Hale as well.
Okay. Nothing I want to do more than hold another trophy of somebody else's. Because we didn't do that enough with Todd last year.
Right. Just like Packers are going to hold up another trophy. Ace, the other thing I just want to compliment you on, which is we really need in this community for a lot of reasons, is engaging the youth in everything. I mean, what they've done in the schools with auto mechanics, getting these kids started a little bit younger, then wait till you get out of school, and then what I want to do gives them a chance to discern. Like, nah, I don't think I really like to do this. Other people are like, you know what? I love doing this. And they start reading about it and following certain chefs they like. And it's just important that we don't wait till they're out of high school to say, now what do you want to do?
Yes. You're so, and I think that's one of the number one reasons why so many people go to college and don't even end up staying in their major. You know, so many culinary students graduate and they don't end up staying in the industry because they didn't work the restaurants. They didn't know about it. They waited until they graduated to see if they like it.
And so that's why what you're doing is great. But the other thing that kids can and should do is do these internships because that you can learn.
I preach that.
A good internship is going to tell you if this is where you belong or not.
They're so important.
Yeah.
And they can make or break a career.
Totally. I mean,
and get that done before you spend $50,000 to go to college.
We're talking 13-year-olds
on this thing.
Yeah,
well, it's younger than that, isn't it?
Eight to twelve,
and then
13 to 17.
Wow.
Oh, you think 8-year-olds can't cook?
I don't know.
My kids had knives in their hand when they were 4 years old.
Really?
Yeah, they're both chefs now. But yeah,
that's cool. What a great. Talent.
I mean, they're not in there like, you know, Chef Ramsay. I mean, they're limited, but they're still cooking.
But the thing is, that's not like being a really good hockey player because you don't do that when you get home at night. Whereas cooking, you know, I mean, that's something kind of the life of the party.
It's a it's a fun way to practice.
My cousin's husband is, and we'd go to these parties, you know, and it's like, bring something. And, you know, you kind of make something and his stuff was always, it's a little showy. I'm like, John, really? But he would just make things that were like, okay, this is a professional chef. The rest of us aren't nobody. Right. And it's, you really have to rub our nose in it. He goes, oh, it's just what I do. So, which is true.
You know, it is.
But it's something that people, I mean, there's a passion there for doing that.
And you got to eat.
You got to eat.
It's not like, well, we might.
I just think it's awesome what you do, Ace, for all the kids around here and the different charities and everything like that. That's cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it'd be an awesome.
So tell
event.
Me if parents want to bring their kids to spectator sport or just tell me how this works.
So the way it works is each contestant can have one, assistant, you know, and the younger kids, that's mandatory. They have to have an assistant there, the 8 to 12-year-old, but the other one you don't. And the assistant's part is really just there for moral support. The rules are you can't cook for the kid. We don't want 8-year-olds, that their parents are cooking for them. I mean, we want to see the kids actually cook. So there's rules that I set up like that.
Is it grill set up then? Or?
No. It's a lot of it's going to be out of the skillet. So we'll have, little induction burners and stuff like that. We'll have some griddles and stuff like that. It's all based on their recipe. So they can use a variety of different things.
All right. So this is Saturday, May 31st. The doors open at 11 a.m.
Yeah. I'll be demoing too. I'll be doing demos.
Do you know how much tickets are for this? Well, where can they get tickets? Let me ask you that. You know, I guess just a Ticketstar, right?
Yeah, Ticketstar.
Ticketstar is running that thing. Okay, so do that. This will be a fun afternoon on Saturday, May 31st. Take a look at that. Encourage these kids to pursue cooking, have some samples, and that's be great.
Text here next year. The segment Cooking with Mina will clean house at the WBA Awards.
Yeah, 101 on cauliflower soup. 101. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I was at the Whammies last night too.
How did that go?
It was mate. Guess who table we were at?
Who?
The freaking glam band.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he comes up to me and he's like, "Yeah, I know you." I'm like, "How did you know the guy that won the
Dennis,
thing?"
Dennis.
Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, I know you from the Mind of the Mayor show." I'm like, "Ah, all right, cool."
We weren't invited.
And then we came and sat at the VIP table. Yeah, I got pictures and everything. I'll share them with you.
Please do.
Yeah, must I will.
Yeah. Can't wait to see those.
Wait, we got.
I was a finalist. I didn't win, but I won.
We got 30 seconds left.
Join the losers club, Ace. I am holding this award, man. Award of Excellence presented at WGBW AM, Mino and the Mayor, second place media market talk best morning radio show.
All right.
But quote, the mayor's birthday.
That was a good show.
Our best show is something that never happened.
No, it did.
It never happened.
We can always dream.
It never happened. We're losers.
You can always dream.
Ace, you're the best.
And we do.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for being everybody. See ya.
Peace.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.